Lady and gentlemen, welcome to the fifth and only fifth episode of Tavern Tussle. As always, I'm your co-host Cam Bands, and I am joined by
your other co-host Karateka.
That's right. We are here once again, feeling good, doing stuff. Everything's magical. Big things are happening because you just started watching Critical Role.
I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah, so how you feel about that?
How do I feel about Critical Role? It's amazing. Like, fucking amazing. Like, yeah, I'm going to say that. How do I feel about myself just starting watching it? I'm very disappointed in myself because I'm just... Like, I just started. I'm so far behind.
You really are. Like, there's already, like, 17 episodes and the second campaign and everything.
I'm going to catch up, though. Like, I'm committed. Like I said, I've done, well, now, 2 days after I've started watching it, I'm, like, 13 hours in.
Yeah, you know, no, I mean...
Work a full-time job.
Yeah, there's a lot of content to digest in that.
I mean, I love it. I mean, I'm going to catch up on season two. And I'm going to go back and watch season one because those... They're fucking awesome. Like, I love their style. I love everything they do.
Yeah, no, because Aaliyah started watching it when Campaign 2, and she's absolutely in love with it. So she's super excited that you're watching it now because it'll give her someone else to talk to about it besides just me. But she didn't see the first campaign, so now she's going back and watching the first campaign.
So I'll be right there with her. Like, it's fucking perfect.
I'm like, man, I've seen all of this already, and it's so much. There's like 180-some episodes, all like 4 hours long. I'm like, if you didn't watch it when it was like happening, like, catching up is like a full-time job, man. It's going to take forever.
Okay. I'm dedicated. It's worth it. It's not just interesting and entertaining, but it's also very, like, knowledge-giving, like... You learn a lot, not just, like, rules and regulations, but also, like, role-playing styles. And you just, like, there's just everything. They have, like, every aspect.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they're professional voice actors and actors, so it's kind of, like, in their wheelhouse kind of thing. But, yeah, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen Critical Role, first of all, do it. Because the biggest side effect of watching Critical Role is wanting to play D&D. Because every time I watch it, every week, every Thursday, I'm like, God, I want to play so bad right now.
I've been dying the last 3 days.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty bad. And we're not going to be able to play this upcoming Sunday.
I know.
So.
Tomorrow. I know.
Sad times. Gosh. Sad times. But hey, I mean, last week we played. You guys are in the Tomb of the Nine Gods. Played my game.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
We survived.
You're still surviving. That's like that. That's when you know you won that week because you're like, "Oh, I'm not dead." It works out fine that way. No, but it's gonna be interesting coming back.
I mean, the way it ended.
I know.
I'm not gonna give anything away, but
I know you guys.
Me cheering at our survival means something for a reason.
You opened up that door and saw all that treasure. What did you think, whenever?
Yeah, anytime I see treasure, I'm just like, that's the pro. Treasure. Now something horribly wrong is about to happen.
And you were right.
A treasure room and, you know, this tomb of the nine gods, which nothing so far, like, good has come about. There's nothing good here. It's just evil and death and destruction.
I mean,
everything wants to
point.
Murder you.
Yeah, I'm super excited because I think the fight that you guys are about to do is gonna take like 2 hours. But it was the perfect stopping point because it was like that oh shit moment, and then it was like, and we'll pick this up next time.
Like a cliffhanger.
Yeah, and then everyone just audibly groans around the table. They're like, oh god. But no, yeah, I'm really, really excited.
I'm excited, too.
I mean, I think it'll make that time between our games now a lot more manageable because you have something to be excited about and think about and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never really been one to, like, metagame, when it comes to D&D, but like a cliffhanger like that, like if I were playing through that, I would want to know everything I fucking could know about what was going on, you know? Because I don't think all of you are going to survive, which sucks, because I don't want anyone to die, but at the same time, I don't know how you're going to do as a group.
I'm just going to say right here and now, I have a master plan. It could go absolutely, you know, 100% well, or it's just going to be the most disappointing thing ever.
Well, don't tell me.
But I have a plan. Oh, I'm not going to tell
you. Yeah. I will give everyone a hint listening. It's something really big, and it has a lot of eyes. Dun, dun, dun. Now 80% of people are like, oh, okay, yeah, I know what that is. That's cool. It's on the cover of the book, duh. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see what happens. Just because that kind of monster fight, like, you have these, you know, combat encounters in Dungeons & Dragons that are pretty straightforward, you know, like, you know, fighting orcs or gnolls, you know, like, they make sense in the world because they do things that make sense.
Yeah.
But, like, once you get to, like, those big boss monsters with like legendary actions and stuff, like that just goes out the window because like tactics are different. Like
there are no tactics. It's the tactic is survive.
Like I guess that makes sense. But no, yeah, pretty epic. But that brings us to the point of this week's episode, which is the bonds and relationships of a D&D group, both like at the table and out of the table. Out of the table, away from the table. Get in the table. No, but I think a lot of, you know, my relationship with the people we play with, like, you know, Kyle and Andy and everything, it's been strengthened through us playing Dungeons and Dragons together. Because, I mean, playing Dungeons and Dragons with people that you don't know is already scary enough, especially if you're a role player. You know what I'm saying? Because you're putting yourself out there as a character, and if you don't know these people, it's kind of awkward and kind of weird, especially like depending on how they take it in and everything.
You don't know how they're going to react. You don't know how they role play, if they role play, and what to what extent. And then all of a sudden you jump in and it's like, whoa,
yeah,
this guy's going crazy.
So, like, over time, like Andrew said last week in our episode with him, like, we've been playing for, like, 5 years. And so, over that time, we've gotten to know a lot about each other just through our choices at the table. And then, of course, it's always something fun to talk about when football's not around. Because, I mean, I live for two things, fantasy football and Dungeons and Dragons. Reminder, I'm the fantasy football champ of last year. But no, yeah, so I mean, I think it's important. Like, you can have, like, a group that's just a Dungeons & Dragons group, and then you don't really, you know, hang out with them outside of the game. Like, that can happen, because, especially with the online games, like on Roll20 and, like, Fantasy Grounds and all that stuff, like, you're dotted all over the world, so that's really the only time you have to hang out with people. But my favorite way to play Dungeons and Dragons is everyone's around the table, you know, everyone's hanging out. It's just one of those social things that just feels right kind of thing, you know? But there does come a point where what happens at Dungeons and Dragons can affect your relationships outside, you know.
Dungeons and Dragons is one of those games. I mean, when you play, whether you play once a week, twice a week, whatever, I mean, it's week after week, month after month. You kind of, you have a certain level of, like, you're invested, whether it be in the game, that scenario, you know, campaign, character, whatever. Like, personal emotions get mixed in.
Yeah, no, I mean, There have been times where, like, a game I used to play, right? I used to play with the same group we played every Sunday for about 2 years, right? This was when I was in high school. But I had this character. It was a half-orc ranger. And my beast companion was a war dog. that I like found and trained and all this stuff. So I'm playing the same character for like 7 months, right? I'm really attached to it. I'm like, you know, he's a lot of fun and stuff. And then the people I'm playing with decide it would be a good idea to use my dog as bait. Because we were going into like this keep. And there was like this fog that we couldn't see over the wall with. So they lowered my dog down as bait. And he totally got chopped up by whatever was down there. And like I was so pissed. And so I just left. I was like, I need time to handle what just happened. Because you guys are assholes. I mean, I was like 16 years old and emotional emo.
I mean, I'm just saying, as soon as you start, like, got through the first couple sentences of that story, I just pictured someone telling Aaliyah how they were going to use her, jaguar or panther, what is it?
Her panther,
panther as bait, and I could just imagine her like, no, I will shoot you in your face with an arrow, if you even suggest that again.
Yeah, no, my fiance is one of those people that, like, she takes the stuff that happens at the table, like, seriously, because when she played Dungeons and Dragons, like, she's the kind of role player that kind of, like, becomes that character while we're playing the game. And so, like, if you piss her character off, she's a little mad at you in real life. Like, that happens all the time.
Oh, man.
And it's not bad because, I mean, after the game's over, you know, it's just forgotten about and everything's happy and hunky-dory. But, like, she's just so invested in those things that it changes the dynamic, you know, outside of the game just a little bit.
Remember where you sleep at night, DM.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it can be a really good tool to build relationships because you learn a lot about people when they're role-playing because a game like this, like, it's a fantasy. And so people tend to do things that they can't do in real life or, like, you know, like, when you have such open options in a role-playing game, there comes a point where we were saying before, like, you can kind of do anything you want to. And so by the choices people make in game, you can kind of get a feel for them outside a game. Like Andy, for instance. Andy's always running headfirst into everything, you know? Like, he's just...
Charge.
Yeah, no, like, anything and everything.
Bull.
Charge.
I'm gonna hit it with my mace.
There are 6 dragons in the hallway. I'm charging. What? I'm charging. Okay. And then, like, and then you take Kyle, for instance. Like, Kyle is, like, methodical and, like, tactful kind of thing. So he takes, you know, everything about his character is, you know, motivated by being the best character it can be kind of thing. And so you can kind of get the sense, you know, that he's, like, methodical in real life kind of thing. Like, he thinks things through. He's not just a George kind of guy, you know what I'm saying? And then you have, like, me, like, I just want to have fun. So, like, the characters I make are always just, like, larger than life, weirdos. They're just fun to roleplay.
A Goliath rogue.
Exactly. Just because I feel like, you know, that gives me a way to express this, like, eccentricness that I have, like, in everyday life. And since I don't do anything eccentric or exciting, that's kind of how I get it out kind of thing.
Like therapy.
Exactly. I'm going to
keep bringing that up, I swear. Like, that's our thing now.
Every episode. So our therapy session this week went rather well. But in your experience, how do you feel like you playing Dungeons and Dragons has shaped the relationships with people around you?
How do I feel?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Awkward moment.
I misheard you. I mean, yeah. Like, most of the people we play with, I mean, those, we have a, like, all the people, we have a relationship outside of Dungeons and Dragons. Whether it be, I mean, we played me, you, Andy, Kyle, we played League together. We played WoW together. Like, we pretty much, how we've done that, like, had dinner together, you know?
Have you played Dungeons and Dragons with, like, any other groups?
I have. I mean, I've only ever played Dungeons... Okay, I take that back. Aside from the very first time I played, which didn't last very long.
Yeah.
Because we had a total team wipe within, like, I don't know, 3 weeks, maybe. But I usually play with like my really close friends. I have played with other people besides you guys, but those are actually like I've played with one of the guys I've known. One guy I've known, let's see, 18 years. One guy I've known 10 years.
You're only 19 years old.
No. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that's a good experiment, is just to go out and play this game with people that you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, go to your local game store and just, like, find a game. Because that's in a controlled environment. You're not going to someone's house. You know, you're not meeting up somewhere that you're not comfortable. Like, it is just the local game store. So, it's a controlled environment. It's in public. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. It's very, you know, it's kosher. It's good. Sometimes they have snacks there.
What do you mean you picked my pocket?
Yeah. And
he tries to punch you in the face or throw a beer bottle at you or something.
And, oh, I did see a thing where people play in, like, Dungeons and Dragons in bars and stuff.
Oh, God.
And part of me is like, that sounds amazing.
Tavern tussle.
Yeah. But the other part of me is like, people get hit in the face. Like, that has to happen. I don't know, man. It's just this weird community around this, you know, they're printed books. They just give you a rule set for this enormous fantasy world you can do anything with. And it creates such strong bonds. Like, across, you know, nationalities, across oceans kind of thing. It's really crazy to think about sometimes.
I mean, it's kind of hard not to. Kind of like I said, like, you get so invested and the people you're playing with are so, you said, like, it's another, it's you. The character is you. It's you expressing whatever, whether it be eccentric or, you know, tactician or like whatever. It's another version of you in your mind, whichever, you know, subconscious feeling you want to express in whatever particular character. And like that character is right along somebody else's character. And that's just like in real life, if you're doing things with someone else, like you're so invested and you're like, well, we did like, yeah, no, we fought this together. I mean, yeah, sure, it's not real, but in your mind, like, it's real to you.
I love when that happens. Like, when you're hanging out with your buddies, and, like, instead of them being like, oh, you remember, like, when we were watching, like, the game, and, like, that dude caught that pass? Like, you say, like, it happened in real life, like, bro, do you remember when we were in that mine and got attacked by those cockatrice? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, it's like a real-life event happened.
You don't start the sentence off, you remember that time we were playing D&D? No, it's just, you remember that fucking time?
Yeah.
We fought that horde of orcs, and we thought we were all going to get slaughtered, but then you cast that fireball, and it crit everybody or something crazy.
Yeah. Remember that time our wizard fireballed himself and died? Yeah. Good times. Good times. No, I mean, I want to play right now. Let's do it. Let's play right now.
I know.
Just the two of us. Oh. I'm gonna sing a line every episode from now on. It'll be good times. But there needs to be better tools for getting groups together.
Yeah.
Like, in person. Because I know there's websites like meetup.com and stuff, and there's, like, message boards and everything, but it can be really hard to, like, find a group, like, in person to play D&D with. And I think that needs to be rectified. We're going to do it. Tavern Tussle.
Yeah, there we go.
The app.
Yeah, one more thing to work on.
It'll just redirect you to Google Maps. Go to your local game store. That's what happens. But not everywhere has a local game store.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that we do. You know?
I mean...
Out in the middle of nowhere in the desert.
Yeah. And what? Well, we didn't have one. Well, okay. We did have one that's been, like, in and out of business, like, 5 times.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, that's just one of those things that happens, though. You know? Like, if you don't support your local game store, then guess what? It closes.
Well, that's one more thing that's kind of important to acknowledge. Like, if it's something you're interested in, and maybe you can buy it off the internet or whatever, but you could also buy it locally, then buy it locally. Like, if you go 2 blocks over and buy it at, you know, your gaming hardware store, whatever,
And this is an important point because Morten Kanen's Tome of Foes is coming out at the end of this month. So they're trying to push, you can get it early in local game stores, or you can buy it on Amazon like a week or 2 weeks later for like 20% off. It's like Amazon is killing local game stores.
Amazon's killing a lot of companies.
I know. Like, we're not going to have brick and mortar here pretty soon. It's going to be crazy. I don't know. I want more people to, like, play with. You know what I'm saying? Because I love our group. Our group is great. But I just kind of want that feeling of, like, playing with different groups.
Yeah.
Because then you get a different experience out of it.
Yeah. Different people, different minds.
Yeah. Like, if everyone in our group had another group of all completely different people, I think that would like improve like our gameplay experience.
Yeah.
Because you learn from other people, you know? Like just in how they roleplay and their character choices and the way they go about the adventure all considered. Like having like a set, stable group is fantastic. Because you all know each other, you know, you all have fun playing, but then like branching out of your comfort zone and like playing with a group of people that you don't really know, like that can only serve as a learning experience.
Yeah. Puts you in positions you'd never be in with, you know, this group, because this, like, this group, even with all these 3, 4, 5 different people, they only do these type of reactions. They only, like, this is these mindsets, whatever. And then you go to this person who's completely different from anybody you've ever played with. Then you have to react or role play or whatever to that particular person, which is completely new to you, new experience.
Yeah, like it's all a big just matrix of possibility. You know what I'm saying? That'll make more sense when you watch more Critical Role. You gotta get on that, dude.
Dude, I mean, third episode, I'm almost done with it. It's only been 2 days.
It's good. It's good. It gets better.
Like, I have my 10-month-old watching with me. Like, I'll pick him up. He'll watch it a little bit. I mean, obviously, he gets distracted by things super easily. And then he'll go off over here and do something. And then,
he'll disappear for 6 hours.
He'll crawl back over to me. I'll pick him up. He'll watch it for, like, 10, 15 minutes, which is awesome because I can't wait to introduce him to D&D anyways.
Yeah, start him early. Start them early.
Went to bed last night. I put it on our room TV so my girlfriend had to watch it. Like, it was awesome.
We got to get her playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Indeed. That's what needs to happen. I talked to her about it today, man.
I mean, I got my fiance playing and she loves it.
Talked to her about it today. She agreed.
Sweet. We got to get this happening. But yeah. Are you ready, Christian? Karaga? Whatever your name is? I noticed last week we said Christian like 17 times.
I honestly didn't even notice.
Now everyone knows.
Mystery's gone. Yeah. Everyone knows me. I am Christian.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the weekly, but not really weekly, Game of the Week. So, Karateka, this week, I'm going to give you a quiz. And we are going to determine your real-life alignment.
God, I feel like this is super dangerous.
Are you ready?
I think so.
First question. What is your gender? Because that has everything to do with alignment.
I think I'm going to go with male. Okay. Male. All right, male. Yeah, sounds good.
Which of the following is most important when it comes to government? You ready? Government.
Oh, geez.
A. That the government is structured and sound. B. That the government is not tyrannical or evil. C. That the government does not impose itself. Or D. That the government is controlled by a powerful and vicious leader that knows how to make his pawns obey him.
I'm gonna go with A.
Okay.
Structured.
Which is more important, morality and ethics or the law?
That is hard. Morality and ethics or the law?
Yes.
Law.
So the law is all that matters and morality is determined by a group consensus? or the law is determined by the strong, and morality is only a way to give yourself an excuse to be weak.
Yes. Oh. Law is your... I honestly can't remember what you said. Law is for the strong, morality is for the weak.
Okay, everyone hates you now.
Okay.
How important is truth on a scale from 1 to 5? Or is the truth boring?
The truth is circumstantial.
How important is it 1 to 5?
God. I mean, 4.
Okay, I would have said 5. That's fine. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's like, you always come across that instance when you're, it's like, and the same scenario always comes up, at least like, in my case, it's like.
Do you ever see the game show contestants talking? Do they monologue on game shows, Karateka? Let's get back to it, folks. Would you accept a deal that would give you unlimited power if it also killed every orphan and was from a man with horns?
Unlimited power, you say?
But it had to kill every orphan, and the man you made the deal with had horns.
But I don't know any orphans.
So, yes. No, he is evil. The orphans are innocent. Yes. He can't actually kill the orphans, right? Or no, he is obviously lying. He has no money or power.
He doesn't know any orphans.
Oh my
God. I'll take the power.
Oh my God, okay. What would you do if City Hall was on fire and you could only get one of three things?
Okay.
The sprinkles, the Constitution, or the money. The fire started near the Constitution and money. If you went all the way to the sprinklers, everyone would be saved, but the money and Constitution would have burned up. Money is $10,000.
Sprinklers.
Oh, you're going to save everyone? Wow.
$10,000 is bogus.
I wish I had $10,000.
I mean, so do I.
Okay, but, like, less monologuing. Would you ever settle down into a permanent relationship?
Yes, I'm in one.
Okay, cool. Sub-question to that one. Is marriage the only way?
Man, I'm going to get reamed for this. I don't think marriage is the only way. You don't have to be married to be in a permanent relationship.
And that's fine. It's 2018. We can say that. 9. How should someone be punished for going against the system? A. Severely reprimanded, but not killed. B. Huge fines and jail without bail. C. Not at all. They should be respected. D. If you can punish them, execution. The weak should die. Or E. Execution as a warning to others.
Like, see, that's circumstantial. What type of going against the system are we talking about? Like, oh, you stole a candy bar, or oh, you raped a woman, like...
Okay, that's not going against the system. Like, we're talking, like, anarchists.
Like, they're burning buildings?
No, they're just, like, the guy who released WikiLeaks. Like, he's an anarchist. He's against the system. You get way too vicious.
I mean, I know. I don't know. Everything's not black and white. I mean, yeah, they should be. If they're not hurting anybody, if they're not affecting other people's lives, then I don't think they should be punished. If they're just doing their own thing, you know? Type deal, but they're, you know, like, oh, I don't like this politician, or I don't like this politician, or I don't like this. Like,
okay.
Who gives a shit?
I'll give you 3 levels.
Okay.
Kill them, don't kill them, but punish them, or just leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
Okay, cool. 10th question. Do good and evil matter? Yes, good must protect the world from evil, or... Yes, we need good so evil doesn't screw everything up. Or, yes, good is a way to get around trying to ruin the government. Or, yes, evil must be stopped to preserve government. Or, no, good and evil are opinions.
Good and evil are opinions.
How did I know you're going to choose that one? 11. Are law and chaos actually important? Yes, the world runs on law. Yes, chaos must exist to protect us from evils. Yes, law must be destroyed to allow us to indulge and prosper. Yes, law must be made to stop the weak from rising up. Or no, law and chaos are two sides of the same coin.
What was number two?
Number two was, yes, chaos must exist to protect us from evil.
I'm going to go with chaos must exist to protect us from evil.
I like it. I like your little joker answer. That's good. Okay. Next. How would you react if two houses were on fire, the house of your superior and the house of your partner? Not romantic partner. Like, if your boss's house is on fire and then right next to it, like, my house is on fire, who would you save?
Well, was he a douchey boss?
Stop putting other things in it. It's either your superior or me.
Partner, you. I like you.
Oh, I love you.
I love you whatever. Too.
Shut up. Okay. What is your reaction to anarchists? A. Anarchists are the scourge of society. B. Anarchists really don't matter. Or C. Anarchists are the lifeblood of humanity.
Anarchists don't really matter.
Okay.
The only people affected by them are... Oh, you know, actually, I'm going to hold that comment. I feel like I'm going to hurt a lot of feelings.
Yeah, you are. Shut up. Anyway, next one. How far are you willing to go to defend the law? Are you willing to die for it? Are you willing to go as far as you can without actually being hurt? Are you trying to destroy the law, or will you defend the law only against those who wish to instill worse laws?
Defend the law against people who would create worse laws.
Okay, I can deal with that. Okay, which of these phrases appeals the most to you? One.
Oh, shit.
Peace through order. Two, government is a necessary evil. Three, government itself is corrupt. Or four, the strong exist to win and the weak exist to be stepping stones. I know exactly what you're thinking. You don't have to say it.
Strong.
You're going to be evil. I can already tell. This is the last question. Okay. What is your opinion on love, sex, and marriage? One, true love is most important. Two, legal marriage before sex. Or three, sex only, no marriage.
Well, two, just obviously you could throw that out the door. I have a bastard.
Whoa. So... Leonidas is a gorgeous soul.
I'm a bastard. Yeah, I fucking love bastards. All you bastards out there, you're fucking awesome.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I'm going to go, but I'll go with A or 1.
Yeah, because your girlfriend might hear this. I know your real answer. Here we go. Survey says, that is so dumb.
What is it?
You're true neutral?
What? True neutral, baby.
Next step, you're 70%. You're 76% true neutral or 53% chaotic neutral.
I like it.
But your lowest one is lawful good, so good job.
Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the weekly, but not really weekly, Game of the Week!
I think I won.
Well, that remains to be seen. Now I'm challenging you, Karateka Christian, whatever your real name is.
You'll never know.
To have a game prepared for me next week.
Boom. Got it.
I'm super excited to crush it. Absolutely crush it. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us this week. Do you have any last moment comments, any concerns to raise to the populace?
I don't think so.
I'm not editing out that pause. So, thank you again for taking time to listen. Remember, we are now on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere. I mean, you already know that because you're listening to us somewhere. So, whatever. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Tavern Tussle. You can send us an email, taverntussle@gmail.com. Remember, June 1st through the 3rd is the Stream of Eyes, where they are unveiling the next D&D adventure book. Super exciting. I'm pretty sure there's a beholder in it because it's called Stream of Many Eyes. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. So we'll see. And also, Mordenkainen and Tome of Foes is coming out at the end of this month. We will be getting a copy on May 29th because our local game store will not have it at the early date. And we will review it for you folks. But from the bottom of my heart and from the deepest, coldest recesses of Karateka's. Yeah?
I like it.
Okay,
like
cool. It. We're good. Thank you.
Neutral.
And we hope you have a wonderful day.